Today in Evanswood, at 4 o'clock, they're having a game day. I think they're playing Pictionary.
What I read on the Hope Crossing page was bring games.
Who knows?
They're having games, and if you want to join them, that's at 4 o'clock today till 6 o'clock. So celebrate with them. Also coming up, let's see what else is next. Women's Bible Study at Hope Crossing. That's on Tuesday evenings at 6:30.
Studying James.
Huh?
Studying the Book of James.
Chapter
2 this week.
All right. Wednesday night Bible study. We missed last week for the cold. We didn't get a chance to celebrate Sister Linda's birthday, but we're going to do this Wednesday. And we're going to have
chicken and biscuits.
We're going to have dessert. And we're going to start in the Book of Habakkuk. And we'll enjoy that study, I hope. It'll be an interesting book. Another small minor prophet. We'll start into that Super Bowl party at Evanswood Church, Sunday, February 9th. They always have a big screen set up and lots of food and things. So if you want to join them there, that's at 6:30. Bring a game. Enjoy the game there. Men's breakfast, February 18th at 9 o'clock, which will be at Evanswood. Last month they were at the Church of God in Detroit. So they have a gathering of men. They bring all kinds of food. There's everything you can think of for breakfast. They usually have about 12 to 15 guys. So if you're interested, join us for that. What else? Website, BethanyChurchOfGod.org. So everything is there for your viewing pleasure. You know, we're doing our best. We tried again this morning another avenue to get our website working and things working on Facebook. I'm going to take a deep breath and take a step back because I'm not getting the results we need. So I apologize for those that watch. I don't know what the answer is, but we'll continue to give it our best. Technology has not been our favorite friend for Facebook Live, so we're looking at other avenues. But we're going to continue to worship, and I'll do the best I can. Can't help what technology does. Let's see. What else? During a time of prayer, we got a couple of requests. Louie, we need to pray for your family and the loss of your brother. It was Mickey, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry to hear that. Our condolences to you and your family. We'll keep your family in our prayer. I've got a prayer request for the Lunetta family, the Nome family. So we want to keep those in our prayers, the multitudes, for Charlotte and Suzanne and many that are not with us, we're not feeling well and recovering, the Brex and Roxanne who was at home. So just continue to lift those up. We got a couple of songs that will lead us into prayer.
Jim?
Yes, sir.
Also, there's probably a few people who remember Iva Vanderport. They used to attend the church here, and Iva passed away.
Okay. I do not know the name, so it was before my time. But we'll keep that family in prayer.
They go to the Carston Church.
Okay. All right. Other requests that I'm missing?
Gene and Gary,
yeah. We want to keep them in prayer. I know Gene had some tests this week. So as we lead into a time of prayer, we're going to sing a couple of songs that I'm sure you know. There's Power in the Blood, I Know Whom I Believe, and then He Touched Me. So whether you're comfortable sitting or standing, let's worship the Lord together.
There's one miracle power.
Father God, what a joy it is to know that something has happened. And now I know that, God, you have touched me and made me whole. Father, I know whom I believe in, and I am persuaded that he is able to do that which I committed unto him against that day. Father, we have just come in your presence this morning. God, we are grateful for what you are doing in the life of the church. Father, we want to praise you and lift up your name. We want to gather together in your name and to exalt the name of God. Father, that we would just sing your praises. Father, just to know that in worship, God, we can just shout out the name of Jesus and recognize, Father, your omnipotent presence with us. Father, that we are worshiping not a God made of stone or wood, but we are worshiping a God who lives and reigns in our lives, in this church, and the power of the Holy Spirit has been displayed. Father, we just ask that you will continue to touch your people of God this morning. And Father, far and near, God, we just know that technology doesn't work the way we want it, but we're thankful that a God, throughout the storms of life and the difficulties we face, we have a God who continues to work in our lives. And Father, we want to praise you. God, I know that when we face the valleys, God, and we're in the midst of the storms of life, and we lose our loved ones and friends and people that we care about, Father, we just ask that you would embrace us this morning. Father, I pray for the Johnson family. Father, in the loss of Louis's brother, God, that you would just embrace them now. God, give them memory, give them joy, give them your presence, but allow them to remember that you are a God who is still working. Father, love them when the tears would fall. Love them when they face the challenges and the next step. Just embrace them, God, and touch their family. Continue to put your hands upon Suzanne, God, and healing in her body. Father, continue to touch Charlotte, God, that you would just bless her, Lord, as she is home recovering as well. Father, for Jean and Gary, continue to touch them. Father, give them strength today. Bless the Brecks, God. Father, as Judy and Jackie are continuing to go through this cold weather and the difficulties, touch Roxanne as she is at home recuperating. Father, I pray for the Noam family and the Lunetta family. God, that you would just touch them as well. Father, for our churches around this area, God, anoint them with your presence. Bless the congregations. Father, that together the power of your anointing would be upon them. Oh God, you would have your way in this church. And Father, in a few moments, we're going to celebrate the Word of God. We're going to celebrate your goodness and your grace. And I pray, God, that you will bless it and anoint it. That, Father, the Word of God will be rich and alive in us, causing us, Father, to take the next step and actively continue to engage you. That, Father, you will pour into us and pour the world out of us. That, Father, we may serve you. Keep our eyes focused on you, Father. Keep our faith strong and secure. Keep our hands moving in the right direction. And keep our eyes, God, focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for joy went to the cross for us. Father, that we may know that you are alive and well. God, I know from time to time we have special requests and things that come into our hearts. Father, bless those needs. We may celebrate with you your goodness and grace. Now, Father, go with us in the remainder of this service. We will thank you and we'll praise you. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you. amendment. Thank you. I'm going to explore a little bit of a difficult topic in the church. Can you imagine what that is?
Tithes.
Tithes? Yeah, that can be a difficult subject. No, we're not going to talk about tithes. What else do you think are challenging subjects in the church?
Bringing people in.
That can be a challenging subject as well. A little different from that. What do you think? Any other ideas? How about the topic of spiritual gifts? Pull that topic up for me, John. Help me, or help us, understand. You know, the Holy Spirit does not merely enable us to live the Christian life, but it also equips us to serve others through the gifts He gives us. John Stott wrote that. A.W. Tozer says, the greatest gift is the gift of love. Oh boy, here we go with that topic.
John's favorite.
For it is the very essence of God. Watchman Nee says, spiritual gifts are not for personal glory, but for the building up of the church. So what do you think about spiritual gifts? How many of you believe you have a spiritual gift? Ooh. Not many of you. Well, let me just remind all of you that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to everyone. So when I ask the question, how many of you have a spiritual gift? Yes, every single one of you have a spiritual gift. Now it becomes a question of how that spiritual gift is displayed or manifested. That becomes the subject of what we want to talk about. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's celebrate together in your large print Bibles. It is on page 1785. And we will read together from verses 1 through verse 11. So if you are able to stand with me, let's stand together and celebrate the Word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is right before the wonderful passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which talks about love. But here together, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He said, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, the Greek language says in this text, not uninformed. It actually has the word of, I do not want you to be ignorant. Very strong language that he writes here. He said, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to new idols. Therefore, because of what I just told you, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. In other words, God is working in all of you. And he said, because of that, there's a different kind of working. He said, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God has given you understanding and manifestation for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by that one Spirit. To others, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are in work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes to them to each one just as he determines. Now, may God have a blessing. You can be seated. Now, if he determines that and he distributes to each one, now it becomes a question of, if that is in fact true, what spiritual gift has God given you? J. Adams writes, God's gifts are given capriciously, but they are given generously as God wills. Neither are they given in such a way that the option for their use is left to us. As the gifts are discovered, they are to be developed and used to the full service and to His glory. God distributes His gifts for the purposes and for the good of His people. His sovereign administration of these gifts must be acknowledged as right and proper by the people, even when they cannot see the good. So, help us understand is the topic this morning. On the brink of that understanding. So if I'm going to help you understand it, there's a little bit of background. Paul says here, now brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. He's addressing the church at Corinth. And apparently there's a misunderstanding and misuse of spiritual gifts. Now, the big debate in the church is, are we... here we go. Are you ready? Sure you want me to go on? Paul is saying in the church, we have spiritual gifts. And the problem is their misuse of the spiritual gifts, essentially saying they don't understand how these gifts work and should be used in the community. The Corinthian church was on the verge of a split. They were about to be separated, and there was something tearing them apart, both personally and spiritually. All of this was due to spiritual gifts. Why is it that spiritual gifts are such a big deal in the church? What do you think? Come on, you know the topic. What creates so much havoc and angst inside the church? It's not the spiritual gifts. It's one gift. It's one gift that everybody hinges on, that they get so excited about and so uptight about. And it's the gift of tongues. Let's just be honest. Call it the way it is. Why is that such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal when we talk about spiritual gifts in light of what God is doing in the church, that the church hinges its back on tongues? Why? Because of the book of Acts? When they were gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit anointed them and they spoke in a language which was their own, people interpreted, they understood it. In that case, if I come from a native language and my background says that I'm Polish and I have 10% Polish in my background and I begin to speak in Polish and I begin to speak a language in Polish that is understood and I begin to speak it, whether it's in French, whether it's in Italian, whether it's in Greek, whether it's in Hebrew. And I mean, what's the difference? Paul is saying they were given a language, but we have so much angst about this spiritual gift that we forget what God is doing and the church is being torn apart. Oh, we're not a Pentecostal church. Don't get those things in there. Well, why did the scriptures tell us about them? What's the problem with it? Well, you know what the problem is? In my humanness, I don't understand the gift. I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand the working of it. And can the church really reach the masses for Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gifts? What's your answer? Yes or no? No. If the church cannot really reach the masses and meet the masses, and the church cannot really seek that level without the power of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit must be at work within the life of the believer, and the Holy Spirit must capriciously give gifts to people. The problem without the spiritual gifts is that we are encountering the enemy on a level to where the enemy has an upper hand. We shouldn't be ignorant about the gifts. We shouldn't allow false gods to persuade us. We should not deliver a false message. We should not share the message that is outside of the word of truth and apart from the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk for a minute. Every one of you have a spiritual gift. Every one of you have a gift that God is exercising in your life. It becomes a question of, how do I understand what that gift is? Maybe it's a gift of leadership. Maybe it's a gift of helps. Maybe it's a gift of administration. Maybe it's playing the piano. Maybe it's delivering the Word of God. Maybe it's the power of prayer. Maybe it's prophecy. Maybe it's God revealing dreams to you that God gives to you in your visions of what God is doing. Maybe it's a gift of a totality that where God uses you. But see, God has equipped every single one of you with the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and ability to administer it. One of the things that becomes key is that if I begin to do something in my human strength, and here's the key. There's a lot of people that can do wonderful things. They play golf super well. They swim well. They run well. They box. They teach. They know mathematics. They play the piano like Sheila does. There's a lot of natural talents in the world. The problem with natural talents, it's remaining a natural talent for their benefit and for their glory. When we take a gift, we take a natural talent that God anoints to us, and we use it for God's glory, that God may be redeemed, God may be lifted up, and those natural talents now become a gift that God equips for the church. And you don't necessarily have to have a natural talent in order to make it a spiritual gift. God does the work in us. That's the drawing line. I may have a natural talent. God may not use that as a spiritual gift. But I may need a spiritual gift that God equips. See, God doesn't call those who are equipped. You heard that before? God equips those He calls. And what the change is, when God is calling you, God is going to give you and equip you with the things that you need to accomplish the work that He's called you to do. And what happens in that is that gift enables us to believers to equip the church. What is the benefit of the spiritual gift? Is it for my benefit? No. Well, if it's not for my benefit, then whose benefit is it?
Each one. Ours.
Speak up.
Each one of us.
It's for each one of us. But God is giving you spiritual gifts for the purpose of building the church. And equipping the believers is designed to help us understand that our spiritual gifts are designed to equip the church and to lead the church. Spiritual gifts help the believer minister to the people and lead them to Christ. Now, one of the things that are key is the Bible lists a number of spiritual gifts, and seven big ones that are considered key instruments. One of them is the gift of wisdom. They call that one of the greatest gifts. Solomon had wisdom. Wisdom to understand things beyond our own understanding. Wisdom that when we see and hear something, wisdom gives us the ability to understand what great things God has in store. Then there's the spiritual gift of understanding. The significance of spiritual rituals, what God is doing. It is understanding what God is at work. There's a spiritual gift of counseling, intuition that helps make people and us make good judgments, leading us in the direct way, counsel, fortitude, often called courage. It gives us endurance, piety, the sense of reverence and fear of the Lord. Other spiritual gifts are things like faith, healing, helping, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, teaching. God has equipped the church with a powerful set of tools, in other words, to lead the church. So what's the problem with spiritual gifts? Why didn't Paul want the church to understand? And why do church split because of spiritual gifts? And the truth of it is, why do we get so anxious about this whole spiritual gift phenomena and the tongues thing? Every time we talk spiritual gifts, it always goes to the tongue existence. Paul called it out. Tongues are a spiritual gift in the scriptures. If God has equipped you with spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, then speak as God has equipped you. But God also said within that same context, there is an understanding and interpretation of that so that it benefits not you who's doing it, but the church who receives it. See, the problem is we have trouble with this because the church doesn't understand the gifts. And what is the problem with it? They think spiritual gifts are for their benefit. It glorifies who they are. And that was what Paul was dealing with. The church was dealing with spiritual gifts because there are others who believe, well, I've got the spiritual gift of exhortation. It's more than what you have, and I belong in a place of prominence within the church. See, what happened in the church at Corinth is they're dealing with people who are trying to recognize the power of spiritual gifts. And the church, as it was growing, the gifts, they didn't understand them. They wanted to use the gifts for their own personal gain. Well, there becomes the problem right there. Paul said what's happened is the danger of it is that the church was being carried away by false worship. They wanted to worship themselves. They wanted to worship the gift. The gift wasn't being used to lead the church. They were, remember, the church at Corinth was faced with issues of false worship. They had other divinations. They had trances. They had tongues, ecstatic worship, utterances that were designed from pagan worship. And Paul said we need to understand that sometimes the real gifts are masked by counterfeit ones. He said the distortion of the false message, the use of tongues took liberty, the real truth in Jesus. And what people were doing were trying to steal away from the church of building God's kingdom and the church. Paul goes on to profess the information that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the problem is, help me understand. Paul spends a great amount of time talking about spiritual gifts. And if you have a spiritual gift, and God is exercising that, it should be used for the gift of building up the church. It's not for building you up. God exhorts you and gives you all kinds of things so that you may use those within the body of the church. Well, now that I've said all of that, you're ready to use your gifts? Some are going, I don't know what that is. Well, here's the thing that Paul said. Guess what? It's of the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. As the pressure ensued for the church and within the people, some would argue, what are the greater gifts? What are identifying? And where should I put emphasis? You see what the church always gets to? They want to get to this fact, well, I think that speaking in tongues deserves more greater weight than the gift of prophecy. Well, I think exhortation is stronger. Prophecy is greater. Let's see. The gift of helps, that really ensues. And what happens is from a human perspective, we put our emphasis on gifts that we think are greater within the church. Why is that purpose of that? Well, man, you know how to pray. You've got a real gift of prayer. Then exercise and pray. God may not have given you the gift of prayer. God may have given you the gift of wisdom and exhortation to understand through the power of the Scripture what God is revealing to you. My wife can put together stuff in a PowerPoint and display faster than I can click a button. I'm good with that. God bless her. Let her go to work. Continue to do what you're doing. And we want to exercise that. We want to say, keep going. Let God bless you. In the wisdom's sake, what Paul is trying to say, there is no greater emphasis. God utilizes spiritual gifts for the purpose of identifying the church and the growth. Paul attempted to settle the debate, indicating that all gifts come from the same Spirit, the same Lord, and same God. What he was doing was essentially saying there's unity in the proclamation. That effort became futile, and the results were pushing agendas and ideas in order to facilitate strife and division. See, humanness gets in the way. Instead of using the spiritual gifts to effectively build the church, they came too busy and became too busy in trying to figure out which one were essential and necessary, and which one carried the greater weight. Be honest, what difference does it make what spiritual gifts are active in the church, and in what form? It makes no difference at all. And I say that not in a flipping sense. I say that in the sense that all of them are necessary for the building of the church. It's not a question of which one has the greater weight. It's the question of allowing God to use those gifts for the benefit of the church. If in fact this is true, why do we make such a big deal over tongues and the whole assortment of gifts God's poured out in the congregation? Well, you know what I've heard over the years? Pastor, we're not a Pentecostal church. Tongues belong in that church down the street, the Assemblies of God.